NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
Hello and welcome to a very special edition here of Long Shots Golf Betting Podcast here on the VSiN Podcast Network. It is the Players Championship After the Cut edition. If you're over on the East Coast, what the hell are you doing awake? But glad to have you here for this. And if you're on the West Coast, why aren't you out on a date? Why aren't you out having some fun with your friends? But also, we appreciate the download. We appreciate you listening here. Matt, Kelly, and Wes all here on a Friday evening. Guys, play was suspended. That being said, the top of the leaderboard, all those guys did at least get done today. So we can talk about those guys and kind of get what we think about most of these dudes. But Kelly, you let us know before we started getting going here that you actually had a couple of notes and you actually prepared for this here post-cut podcast. So go right ahead. Let us know, my friend.
Well, note number one is Wyndham Clark is really good. He's really good. And I continue to undervalue him. I was just going to pull up Wes's plays. Wes, did you play Wyndham at all?
I did not. I have the guy in second right now is Xander Schauffele.
That's right. Me and you are on Schauffele. I know, Matt, you did place a bet in on Wyndham Clark before the tournament started. So you've got a nice little buffer out there. But this is two of the best back-to-back rounds at TPC Sawgrass in the history of this tournament so far, what we're seeing. So it is pretty special to watch, man. I know we've seen it both days that these scoring conditions have been a little bit easier in the morning. He definitely took advantage of that today. You could see it watching the afternoon. It become a little bit tougher for these guys to go out there and post some little scores. But, man, he has been incredibly impressive so far. And I would like to be like Matt and kind of get this guy right at some point. That would feel nice because I just him and Matt Fitzpatrick, I never get right.
Look, I'm not taking credit for this because I told you it's like when you place a bet at 11 p.m. laying in bed on a Wednesday night because the number drifted all the way to 53-1 at Circa. I'm not going to do a victory lap like if Wyndham Clark goes and wins this tournament or anything. It'll just
but
be
he's
nice.
That guy that happens to though. You know what I mean? Like there is something like we do our full long shots on Tuesday, and just like any other sport, like we have a buy price in mind compared to what we're looking at in our stat models, and I rarely go back. Once I put my bets in, I rarely go back because I hate seeing the ones that I've bet and they've drifted longer. But if there's guys that you've circled and they've drifted to a point where it's a buy point, of course you should do that.
Wes, Wyndham Clark goes out and in the second round gains 4.7 strokes putting in round two. Obviously unsustainable, but it just lets you know that's why you can be basically even around the green and, 1.3 on approach, 1.1 on off the tee and still have the low round of the day by a ton because you were just making every single putt.
Yeah, he gained a little bit less than 8 strokes for the two rounds. The next best is about close to 4 strokes behind him, and that's Sahith Figala, who's in the top 10. He's gained about 4.5. But Wyndham Clark also has been terrific on approach. I believe he's gained a little bit over 4 on approach. So that's well within the top 10 of the field. So look, hit your irons well and putt great. And that's what he has done so far. So Wyndham Clark up there at number one and second, by the way, 4 back. I don't think these guys are by any stretch out of it. Nick Taylor, 4 under round today. Xander Schauffele, 3 under round. Nice rebound, though, for Xander on the back nine after he made that double bogey on the par five. Then he made 2 straight birdies, and then he birdied the late part par five, 2 pars at the end. So he shoots 3 under, 10 under for the tournament. So he's still right in there. Matt Fitzpatrick is a surprise, though, because he has not played well all year. He's been off. Like, something's been wrong with him. I don't know if it's been an injury or what it's been, but he's been off all year. But yet he finds himself in a T4 with Mav McNeely, also a very good putter. Tom Hoagie, I know who we tipped on the podcast, best on approach by far in the field right now. He is T6 along with Matty Schmid, Corey Connors, who's another one of my guys. And then that Scott, that Scheffler guy is still in the mix here, 8 under par, I believe 5-1 at DraftKings. So the, I want to say he's the second, he's second choice, co-second choice with Schauffele. Wyndham Clark at +190 in play currently at DK.
Matt, that was the second note.
I was going to say, Kelly, you have a note on our 5-1 guy here in Scotty Scheffler. As Wes mentioned, Wyndham Clark +190, Xander at 5-1, Scotty at 5-1, Nick Taylor at 12, Fitzpatrick is at 12, everybody else is 20 or longer. That includes Rory McIlroy at 20, Connors at 22, Hoagie at 25. Then you get to 35-1 and longer for everybody else. But yes, a little bit of a note here on Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah, I mean, just wanted to talk about the injury. I mean, I think for a lot of people that maybe weren't watching closely today, that might fly under the radar, especially if you are just looking at these odds, and maybe you watched a little bit this morning and you saw Scotty playing just fine. I mean, he did have to sit down at one point and get his neck worked on during the round. Spoke after the round and talked about, hey, he didn't even know if he was going to be able to finish at one point during it. So something to keep your eye on. I don't really know how you guys feel about it. I have a top 10 bet on him. I don't know if this is a fade candidate. I'm a little surprised the odds are as short as they are on him. To be honest, I mean, Wyndham Clark's got a 4-stroke lead anyways. I don't really, I'm just surprised. The books, I'm sure I have a lot of Scheffler exposure already, but like, I'm a little surprised he's that short and they're that confident he's going to be able to come out there and play this strongly through the weekend.
Wes, I don't know about you. I'm just never going to doubt, like a broken neck, Scotty Scheffler is still better than like 95% of the people in the field. So it's kind of like,
well, he kind of proved that today.
I mean, he still shoots 3 under, you know, like on the day.
So. He's like that old WWE pro wrestler, Kurt Angle, where he was a former Olympic gold medalist. He goes, I won the Olympic gold medal with a broken freaking neck. And maybe that's going to be Scotty Scheffler on Sunday. Certainly not out of it. But everybody, of course, chasing Wyndham Clark. I feel Xander's going to be in the mix until the end. I don't know if he's going to win, but I think he's going to stay in the mix. The time I got Wyndham Clark right was at the Wells Fargo, where he held off Xander Schauffele. By the way, they were in the final pairing together, and then, of course, got lucky with the rain dance there at Pebble Beach earlier this year. But, just looking down the board, disappointing for Rory McIlroy, who you know,
two rounds you look at the losing off the tee.
At the numbers, and he's gaining like 4.5 on approach, and that's been his week. It's like, if he gains 4.5 on approach, he's going to win. And when he putts pretty darn well, which he has, but losing off the tee, where he's the best driver of the golf ball in the world, he just has not been able to put it all together, at least so far this year, with the exception of Dubai, the course he basically owns over there. So Rory McIlroy, T14. Rest of the top 10, by the way, at 7 under, is Sahith Theegala, CT Pan, Brian Harman, JT Poston. Any notables for you guys that did miss the cut this weekend? I know there's a few. Justin Thomas, Will Zalatoris.
Justin Thomas cost me $1 million this week already.
Russell Henley misses the cut. Jordan Spieth misses the cut. Von Royen misses a lot of guys that were playing actually really well this spring. Go ahead and miss the cut. Justin Rose misses the cut. Nikolai Højgaard, Benny Ahn. So a lot of guys, Keegan Bradley, not hanging around for the weekend, that are kind of surprising, but that's the Players Championship.
I'm going to go ahead and say this now, because I'm sure I won't have much to celebrate on Tuesday, but all my guys are through, Wes. Actually, not a single guy got cut. A bunch of them were hanging out at like -2, -3, but yeah, all of them got through.
Yeah. I guess for me, if we're looking here and bets that people may or may not want to make, Tom Hoagie somehow shot 3 under today while losing 2.5 strokes off the tee.
Dude, he's ridiculous. The irons are amazing. Right,
so
now,
the whole reason we play Hoagie is because of the irons, and he's not going to lose 2.5 strokes on the tee or whatever. So I don't think he wins, but maybe a target in head to heads, three balls, like whatever. But if you want to come in on a placement market bet on him now in tournament or something like that, I mean, like, you can get a live top 10 on Hoagie and still get plus money.
Plus 115. That was one. That's one I wrote down, Matt. If I wasn't on Hoagie already, I would be betting that tonight. There is, it's exactly what you said. What he's doing with the irons. We talk a lot about the variance with putting and how difficult that can be to continue a hot putter. Hoagie does this on approach. Yeah. That's not weird for him to do. This is why you know we bet him this week. If I didn't have bets in on him already, I'd be playing that top 10. That's one I circled to bring up.
Yeah, if you look, he is guys that lost off the tee in round 2. Guys shot 2 over, 2 over, 4 over, 10 over, and then you have a 3 under Tom Hoagie, who is the 5th worst off the tee in round 2, just to kind of let you know. So, I mean, that's how good he was everywhere else to be able to get this done. Wes, I don't know if there's any bets to be made from your end at this point from an outright perspective. I mean, you got to think it would take a pretty big collapse for Wyndham Clark at this point to maybe not get through, but what are you looking at if there was anything, if you were gonna, let's just say somebody didn't make any pre-tournament bets and they're swooping in here for the weekend, is there anything that you would look at?
Well, one that you guys pointed out, of course, Tom Hoagie, if he continues to strike the ball certainly as well as he has, but obviously you gotta make up some ground here. So I was actually just looking to see if there are any matchups. I don't know if there's it's not widely populated though, because there's still, of course, that's what I hate about, like, when you still have a few groups on the course, some places don't even put anything up hardly. So
for everybody that's listening to this podcast, I'm not a fan of the limited field golf tournaments, but maybe just make the field sizes, you know, not too big that you can actually get the damn round in. Like, I've never understood that. Like,
Yeah, since it's like if there's a 15-minute delay, it's like you're screwed.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
you totally are absolutely screwed. If
you mean Patrick Cantlay played today, aka the 15-minute delay?
Oh, man.
I can tell you my biggest disappointment today. My biggest disappointment is our boy Keith Mitchell there, Wes.
This week, man. Weston
for a while, that's right, for a while, everything looking great. We're rocking and rolling. Then 15, 16, 17, 18 comes and he bogeys 15. He rallies back with the birdie on 16. I'm like, okay, all right, let's right the ship. No, bogey then double to finish it out. And he ends up down at T27 at 1 under on the day. And Kelly, yeah, it's just a brutal, brutal finish for, if you think about it, if he had just parred those last 2 holes, he's T10 at 7 under. Right. And like, we're feeling really great about the bet we have in the account. Now at this point, you're just wondering, you know, hopefully we can even cash a top 20 if people put that in on it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, absolutely. It was great. I was getting real excited when I was doing a numbers game this morning, seeing him at 7 under. I was walking to my car afterward. I'm like, wait, where is he at the top? He was just here. Where'd he go? Thought he had some interesting comments on the broadcast of just I think for people to get an insight into playing this course, he was hanging out with Kisner and Smiley Kaufman over there on 17 and was just talking about how hard it is to, you know, whether you go in the water or he 3-putt, I believe, 17 today, that's where he picked up a bogey there. And he was just talking about how hard it is mentally to come away from that hole and then tee it up on 18 and have to go after one of the toughest drives in golf. And oh man, I mean, I know the broadcast does a really good job of showing you like as many balls that go in the water as possible, but geez, as much as I watched 18 today, it was incredible how many guys were either going in the water left or being way too safe and going, you know, into the bad stuff right.
Yeah. So Wes, as we kind of move in here to the weekend, I think for me, from an outright perspective, I'm not gonna count Scotty Scheffler out. I mean, like, if there's anybody that could go and win a tournament on the weekend, you're getting pre-tournament price on Scotty Scheffler right now at with two rounds of sample size and a second in the tournament, it's not the worst. You're not going to feel stupid ever betting Scottie Scheffler like in second place in a tournament. I'll put it that way. Like going into the weekend.
Yeah, not at all. So, yeah, I think he's right there. But look, Clark is obviously the guy to beat. But I don't think that this is over. Consider this is the Players' Championship. And we've seen leads get blown here and big ones get blown here over the years. So, you know, Wyndham Clark, obviously not necessarily through yet. The putting's going to regress a little bit. So I think this is going to – he may still get through, but this is going to tighten up, I think, at least on the leaderboard. But, you know – here's an opportunity. I know he's four back, but he's still right there. He's an opportunity for Xander Schauffele to finally win a big one. You know, he hasn't won a major, hasn't won the Players' Championship. So we'll see if X marks the spot this weekend. But yeah, I think you're going to see some guys near the top that are going to be dropping, and then you're going to see guys from the back that are going to be rising. That's just the way that this tournament is. Yeah. But I am surprised to see 14 under your leader here. I thought that was maybe going to be the winning score of the tournament.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's incredible what he's doing. But I mean, yeah, especially this tournament, you put a, you know, you put a few balls in the water at a bad time over the weekend. Who knows? This thing could change really, really quick. So I'm not saying there's not value on the board. I think, you know, isolating who you really like. I would go, I'd lean a little bit more towards those top 10s. We talked about the top 10 on Hoagie. You know, just a guy that doesn't have the history of winning compared to some of the other guys that are ahead of him too. Matsuyama top 10 is a bet I'm making tonight. He's around plus 190, 2-1-ish in that range. Hideki was a guy that I kind of liked heading into the tournament. Wes Cameron, did you bet him this week at all?
Which one? Hoagie?
Matsuyama.
I did not.
You did not. Okay. I'm looking at him top 10 though. He was a guy I got close to mixing into the bets earlier in the week. I think I am going to play a top 10. He's looked really, really good so far. Tee to green. He's what, sixth in the field. He's losing a bit on the putter and his approach a little bit down off the tee and around the green play has been pretty solid through the tournament. But what he does best is, you know, just hanging around average right now. So I'm going to play a top 10 on him. The one I got close to outright wise was Connors. We talked about it on the Tuesday podcast. I was really close to at mixing him or JT into my bets before the tournament started. I avoided both. The only thing about Connors right now is he's up there, but he's gating with the putter, which I'm just a little concerned about being able to continue through the entirety of this tournament. But if I had to make an outright bet right now, I'd actually go a little bit longer.
Could I interest you in top Canadian, in which you will get plus money on Corey Connors, which is basically a head-to-head against Nick Taylor.
So I'm glad you brought it up, but Nick Taylor absolutely terrifies me. I don't know why, but I feel like this guy is just hanging around always now. He's a thing always. He's becoming that guy to me.
So your answer to this is no, you would not play Corey Connors two strokes back at plus money over Nick Taylor is what you're saying.
I wouldn't. I would not.
I think I probably would. Just pedigree, talent-wise, I think that Connors is a little bit better. And again, the plus money deal and getting two rounds to chase him down, I probably would, but I already have Connors placement market bets, so it's just So
I think a lot of sane minds would, Matt. I don't know why Nick Taylor is like this. Ever since the Canadian Open last year, it's like Nick Taylor's just been like raining in bombs on me at bad times. His game is impressive.
None of us are of sane mind because we bet this stuff. So
that's right, Wes.
By the way, I'll throw a couple top tens out there. One that's a little off the pace. And he's 4-1 plus 400 at DraftKings, but a guy who tends to post really big final rounds and somehow vaults up leaderboards when he's out in contention is Ludvig Åberg at 4-1. So I could see him, man, I could see him shooting like a 66 or something on Sunday and getting up there, perhaps in the top 10. There's live top 20s also at DraftKings if you want to play those. In terms of live top 10s that are a little bit more shorter or more realistic, maybe Brian Harman at plus 170. He did shoot 7-under today. So nice round for Brian Harman. I agree with Kelly on the Hoagie and those guys, but JT Poston at plus 210, I think certainly would be worth a look. But if you're going a little bit deeper hunting, Ludvig at 4-1. To get in that top 10. He's plus 125, by the way, to get top 20.
Yeah, you know, Poston's a good – I'm glad you brought him up because he didn't really pop for me. stat-wise this week with what I was looking at, but man, he is a guy I bet regularly through the start of the season, and he was, I mean, he had a Doug Gim stretch, right? Like we talked about him on Tuesday, of just these top 20s, you know, every single week when he's going out there. So I don't hate the idea of that at all, Wes.
I think the other, if we're looking for, and again, the head-to-heads haven't been posted yet, but if you get this in time, and I think the guy that is the biggest fade for me might be Maverick McNealy. He gains four strokes putting on this round while losing on approach and losing off the tee, not losing a ton on approach and not losing a ton off the tee, but he did lose on approach and off the tee, but just made every single putt that he, I mean, literally gained four strokes on the field putting.
That's what he does. That's what he does. One of the best putters on tour.
So one of those deals where if you just want to bet on variance just a little bit, right? You know, that's something maybe depends on the head to head, right? But like, that's at least a guy that I might look at kind of attacking. And I don't know what odds they're going to put on Scotty and who they're going to match him up with in head to heads, but I'm not convinced that his neck thing is going to keep him from not going out and shooting three or four under again. Like, I don't know if he can make a run at winning the thing, but like, he's just a three under machine. He's going to shoot three under.
I'm glad you brought it up though. I would be much more okay with him playing him in a matchup for tomorrow than playing him in that futures market. I just the concern of withdrawing.
Yeah. Guys, we're gonna try to do this for all the bigger tournaments, the majors, and things like that for these kind of after the cut podcasts. Hopefully, there will be full fields finishing and stuff like that, so that we'll have head to heads to talk to you about, three balls to talk to you about, all the things like that. That's just unfortunately not the case for this particular tournament, but maybe you got something out of what we were talking about here with everything. And if you're going in, if you want to look, you know, these stats are all live on these websites that we've talked about a million different times. You want to go in and dig in for yourself. And once these head to heads do get posted, these three balls do get posted, these odds get updated a little bit more, maybe there is something that kind of piques your interest somewhere along the way. For Wes, for Kelly, I am Matt. Good luck on your weekend bets here in the Players Championship.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.